Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Reddick, and this week we are going to be talking about tactics for teaching bravery. And the person who came up with that title and is sitting right across from me is Katie Leinecke. Hi, Katie.
Hello, Martha. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm so good.
It's so nice to have you here.
Thank you.
As always.
It's nice to be here.
Katie has recorded a ton of episodes. At this point, I can't even remember all of them. Conflict resolution, alternatives to timeout, so many. Go look them up and listen
It'll
to them
great.
All.
It'll be great.
You've got to catch them all.
Just Katie's like the Pokemon. Podcast. I evolve as well.
Yes.
Just wait.
Yes. I saw that Maya Angelou quote today. That was like, I did the best I could then. Now I know better, so I do better.
Ooh, yeah,
something along those lines.
Yeah, yeah.
Which made me think about this podcast because I feel like as I learn and grow from researching for this, that I've become a better nanny, which is nice.
So you are like nanny is your first Pokemon. Then you evolve to Nannia.
Oh, yeah.
And what will you evolve to next?
I don't know.
Nannytopia.
Super.
We're making a plan here.
Nannytopia.
Aren't we all like Pokemon in a way?
We are.
Yeah.
Let's all be Pokemon.
Let's just take a moment and sit with that.
Yeah. So as you can tell, Katie and I have been hanging out for a while
together. And we're having a good time.
And we're having a great time. Welcome to our hangout sesh. Wonderful. Really quickly, let's hear a little bit about your background.
Yes. I have always babysat since I was a child. I went to school. I started as a nanny. And then I was like, wouldn't it be great if I still had a job when the kids went to kindergarten? How can I do that? So I, started going back to school knowing that that transition was coming. And I have earned a teaching certificate for early childhood education. It was awesome. Seriously, feel free to take classes. It will change your nanny game. It's pretty great. And a lot of nanny families will offer you tuition assistance, which is great. So now I still nanny, actually. I went from that family I was about to leave to a family down the street while I was still studying. And I'm still with them. I was going to leave them when their child went to kindergarten, but they were like, hey, could you actually stay, though? So now
because
I
love you.
And my schedule has actually changed a little bit since last time we spoke. I used to say I preschool teach 8 to 2, and then I nanny 2 to 6 or sometimes 2 to 10 p.m. But now, my friends, 3 days a week I start at their house and get their little one on the bus. And then, because their schedules have changed with work, and then go teach, and then come back to their house. So by the time I leave at like 6 o'clock, I'm like, wow, what day is it? Have
when
I started
I?
A new day yet?
Yeah.
And I have not ever. No. So that's where we're at.
Thank you very much for
being
here.
Yes, my pleasure. I always look forward to this.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
If you don't hang out with Martha friends, you should consider it.
Come on over.
It's pretty fun.
But seriously, email in, because if there's a podcast that you want to record, I am open.
But really do.
Yes, but really do.
Do you know what I thought about today?
What?
I was thinking for your podcast, if anybody knows about nannying for families of divorce or families who are separating, I think that would be a really useful, I have no background in it, but I think that would be really useful because I sometimes work with families who are going through traumatic times. So if that's in the works.
I actually have that.
On a back burner somewhere?
On a back burner somewhere.
Talk to somebody who has worked through that transition before where their parents were separating. Because I heard it on the podcast. but I was thinking about that today, about how that would be
a great
episode.
But if you do have experience, please email in because who knows?
It's tricky. Tricky waters there, friends.
It is. It is. And we will handle with care. And I am a child of divorce. So I can come at it from the child side.
Absolutely.
Well, that's a great idea. Thank you.
Sorry email in. Jump off track.
No, please always get off and back on track.
Awesome. I will.
Great. Well, today we're talking tactics for teaching bravery. And this, we kind of got here because both of our families are both, or kids in both of our families are struggling with trying new things and activities that feel intimidating.
Yes.
And not wanting to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is an issue that I face
in
adulthood.
Yes.
And I definitely think it comes from, at least in me, I can't speak for the children always, but in me, it comes from a place of wanting, of caring very deeply about doing well.
Yeah, like doing it right.
Like, doing it right. And if it's something that's new to me or I don't know what to expect, that feels very scary.
Of course, of course. And it's hard too because children, as an adult, you can choose because you've been forced to experience those things. So you kind of know what feels safe for you to try. But for children, you need them to have that experience. So it's hard. They might be facing more activities that they're not interested in or they're nervous about. I mean, like Martha. Martha was in a kickball league.
I was.
And our mutual friend started it. And I was also invited. And I was like, oh, man, like I would love to. But I fear embarrassment and being bad at things in public. So I'm going to take a pass. I was also marathon training at the time, and it was my only off day. And I was like, I don't think I want physical activity on that day.
I don't want to run around.
Yeah, but it was that was a real fear for me, too. So, like, I can relate to children, and it's hard to think about children as having these same fears because children are so magnificent. They're like,
they are.
I often, when I take the child I regularly nanny for to activities, I'm like, how do you just go to this event, listen to this relative stranger with an open heart and mind, and you're like, yeah, okay, I'll try that. Yeah. That sounds fine. Strap on those ice skates. Put me in the pool. Like, why not try baseball? It's amazing how open they are to new experiences. So it's kind of hard when you come up against something or a period of resistance where they're feeling anxious.
Right.
And I find that that can happen a lot at the ages of 6, 7, and 8 because they are becoming more aware of what they can and cannot do realistically. And that's part of their development. But it is hard when you get to that point where you're like, all of a sudden there's a screeching halt in their willingness to go to new activities.
Yeah. And it's also, I think, that 6, 7, and 8 is often when kids are in full day school and it's relatively new to them to be there all day. And then also I find in especially like the 7 and 8 side of that is when parents start being like, they need to be in the activities.
I'm going
to
program them. Yeah.
They need to be in all the activities.
Let's sign them up. And one a day.
And
it comes from a good place too.
It certainly
they want
does.
Them to try new things and have find things that they like and gain confidence, and that's great.
And super important.
Yes.
And to try new things and all that good stuff. I mean, when I was a kid, because it took a while for my parents to understand that I got the same things out of theater that most kids get out of sports.
Yes.
And so they really wanted me to be on a sports team. And I tried all the sports.
Yeah.
Not basketball, because I knew I wasn't.
You're so short.
I'm so short,
you guys.
And I was even more short. Then they had to create a special chart for me.
That's adorable.
So basketball was never
chart.
Yeah, it was never going to be my jam. My Space Jam, not for me.
But Muggsy.
But I did soccer, I did softball, I did swimming,
just like the Pokemon. She caught them all.
I caught them all, and I did not enjoy them all. I found a lot of four-leaf clovers during softball.
Yes.
But I did
you make any flower crowns?
Yes.
Good
and
for you.
And there was a weeping willow tree sometimes, and
that's
I would
nice.
Make weeping willow crowns. Have
that's
you ever made those?
No.
They're beautiful.
Gonna take a note this summer from you.
But anyway, and so I also understand that side of things is that you have to try it to know if you like it. And often to try it, I put air quotes around that.
Yeah.
You have to do it for a season.
Yeah. And it's resiliency building too. Yeah. Like, if a child doesn't get along with a particular coach, which I've had experience with just in the short 4 months we've been in this 2018 year, or if a child is struggling with fear, or, I mean, they don't love the activity, but you want them to learn to be committed to whatever it is they've agreed to be committed to.
Mm-hmm.
And not give up.
Right.
And to learn that the things get better if you keep trying.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. It can be really hard too as a nanny in particular compared to a parent.
Right.
Because as a parent, you have more power over the situation, and you can, if something's truly terrible, you can pull them. You're often there as the nanny
mm-hmm.
for the activity, and the parent is hearing about it later.
Right.
So there's like an element of them being removed from the situation, and you're the one who's handling the anxiety around it. So it's challenging.
Yeah. And a lot of the activities, because I actually taught swim classes
mm-hmm.
for a while. And I know that part of their philosophy is that they don't want parents and caregivers
to come
beyond
in.
That glass.
Yeah.
And so there is also this element of, like, the teachers don't want you in there.
Yeah.
And having been a teacher, we don't want you in there.
Yeah.
Because you will make it worse.
You absolutely, because they know that they're triggering you, and also you're doing what they want you to do.
Yes, exactly.
And it's not malicious that a child wants you to be there.
No.
But also it teaches them, well, that worked. Mm-hmm. I actually used that, Martha, the child that I regularly nanny for.
Uh-huh.
She's in this past season, she had a lot of activities. Swim class, ice skating lessons, improv, and piano.
Oof.
Yes, weekly, on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
And so there would occasionally be a group piano lesson, and we walked into it, and she knew we were going. She was fine with it. She really loves piano. We walk in, and she's immediately like, I'm not going in there. And I'm like, oh,
why not?
And I was like, why don't you take off your coat? Like, we can go in together. And I'd never seen her really like that before.
Yeah.
But she refused. And I tried to calm her down. I tried to talk to her about it. And then I got to a certain point where she wouldn't take her coat off. She's like, I'm going home. And I was like, well, I'm going to wait in the lobby. I'm going to let you and your teacher sort this out.
Yeah.
And when you're done, like, I trust that you guys will find something that works for you guys. Your teachers are here to help you. I'm outside because now it's class time is starting. And I just left, and I felt bad because the teacher wasn't directly next to the child. And I left the room, and I sat down, and I thought about all the times you had been like, we don't want, like, and as a preschool teacher, sometimes we're like, please don't help me.
Right.
Please leave. If your child's having trouble separating, you need to remove yourself.
Right.
Because that actually helps the child separate.
Sure.
And so I drew on that experience of yours, and I felt awful in the lobby because I was like, ugh, did I just abandon her there? And like, but the teacher came out, they're like, she's doing great. Like, we told her she didn't have to play if she didn't want to, because that's part of the group lesson.
Right.
and she can just listen. She's calmed down. She's not crying. And then they were like, thank you for leaving the room.
Yay.
I think that really helped. And I was like, thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Because it's hard. And it's hard for them too. Like,
for sure.
Yeah. And she had left a group lesson, the last group lesson, with her parents. That's usually a Sunday, once a month activity.
Gotcha.
On a Sunday or a Saturday. And she had left because she started crying. Her parents allowed her to leave the last one. And I was like, so sorry, but I am not letting you leave.
Yeah.
Because we had been facing that kind of discomfort across all of her activities.
Mm-hmm.
It was really hard.
But how did, have you been to an activity since then?
We've been to many activities since then. And some of them she's still feeling anxious about. In particular, one of them was coach related. That coach was had a very cold bedside manner, I'll say.
Yep.
And in fact, many of the children in that class were like, I don't want to be with that teacher again.
Wow.
And we were like, okay, like, that's good to know.
Yeah.
So we swapped out a different teacher and she's doing that again. And sometimes she's nervous, but mostly she's not.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the importance of talking to the kids about what's like, what is bothering you? Is it ice skating in general? Is it? And so we talk a lot about like, she's like, I'm worried.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what are you worried about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the root of your worry? What's the worst case scenario? Do you think that's going to happen? What's the next worst case scenario? We did this today on the way to swim class.
Yep.
But it's like helping them work through these anxious feelings, even about routine behaviors and also new.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. And I do think that it's super important to ask because each child is individual and has, you know.
Results may vary.
Yes, results may vary. And if it's like, I'm worried there's going to be a shark in the pool, then you can address that.
Right.
Because the likelihood that that would happen
is very low.
Very low.
Yes.
And I told them with swim class in particular, because I used to work at that establishment, I have a lot of like clout with the kids.
Because
I'm like, let me tell you how
they
we're
do
trained.
It. Yeah.
To do this. And I'm like, here's the thing, is that there's at least four people whose whole job is to watch the pool.
Yeah.
So if there is a shark, they would see it because their whole job. And I like drew out, because one of my kids was worried about a shark.
As you would naturally be.
I think a fish.
Okay.
Because one of the teachers like jokingly was like, do you see a fish down there? And he was like, wait, there's fish in here?
Hold up.
Wait a second.
I did not sign up for this.
I was not told that there would be fish.
Well, and they have those murals on the walls,
they
too, don't they?
Yeah. Yes. And so, but anyway, and so when we were talking about their worry, I drew out a picture of the pool and I showed them how each lifeguard has a section that they're in charge of and how all of the sections overlap.
Yeah.
So there's at least two people looking at the pool and they have to scan it every 7 seconds.
Wow.
And so, and I was like, and there are also people that watch them to make sure that they're watching correctly.
Yes, I love it.
So there's a lot of checks and balances.
Shout out to Goldfish Swim School.
Yeah.
They nail it. They are awesome. Yeah.
And the training that you have to go through to lifeguard there is intense and very good.
Yeah.
But anyway, and so just things like that.
Yeah.
And so if your kid is experiencing activity related fear, potentially talking to someone that works there.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, I'm friends with a lot of people that still work there, but, yeah, talking to someone that works there and be like, hey, they mentioned that they're scared of this. Is there anything that I can tell them?
Yeah. Or have them ask themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of my kiddos had a problem with one of the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I encouraged him to talk to the coach about it.
Yeah.
And then the coach didn't change behavior. And so then I talked to the coach about it to help. But you
as
know,
a support system.
As a support system.
But you
system.
Made the child try first, which is really important.
Exactly. Because I do think it's important to have them give it a go and to not swoop in and quote-unquote rescue.
Yeah, because if you don't give them a chance to solve their own problems and to self-advocate, when are they going to learn to do that?
Yeah.
The child that I nanny for, it's interesting because we've had two instances where she didn't care for the coach. So mm-hmm. one was at swim and one was at ice skating. Mm-hmm. And at ice skating, because I'm there all the time, I was like, yeah, I also didn't like the way she touched you or spoke to you. I saw that and I didn't like it. And so that was like a thing that we talked about with her parents. And that, so she switched teachers.
Okay.
Because of, great. I was like, I felt that was an inappropriate way to hold on to a child.
Yeah.
And pull them across the ice.
Ooh, no.
But she has some concerns about, or she did have concerns about her current swim teacher when she started, because it was a boy, which was different than she usually had girl mm-hmm. teachers. And also he had a different style of interacting mm-hmm. that she's not super used to. He's so nice and like silly and sassy, and like he really enjoys her, and he's like always safe and kind with her. So it's like some of that you need to let the child experience,
right?
That not everybody is going to be exactly the way you want them to be, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that you don't like that child or you don't like that teacher or the coach. And so she actually has had a really important learning experience because she loves that swim teacher now.
Yeah.
And she
was
like,
same with my kiddo is now he doesn't want to leave the class. He's like, I don't want to move up.
Yes. And it's so important for them to be able to experience that mm-hmm. because we're going to have issues as adults, as high schoolers. You can't switch teachers sometimes.
Yeah.
You can't always choose who you work with. I mean, ultimately you can, because you can quit your job, but sometimes that's not an option financially for you. And sometimes you maybe marry into a family who you don't love one of the members, but you need to learn to work together.
Right.
So that's an important skill to have, is to endure when it's not necessarily your favorite, as long as you're safe.
Yes.
And helping them know that difference is really important.
Super important.
Yeah.
And I think some of the things that I heard you saying there that are, you know, pull out things mm-hmm. are that to observe when you mm-hmm. hear the child raise concerns, observe even more carefully about what's really going on before taking any action necessarily. Especially because a lot of times those concerns come up right before class. So then perfect.
Yeah. Now I know what to look for.
Now I know what to watch for. And then deciding from there.
Yeah.
And also I think talking to the parents, mm-hmm. very good move.
It is. And it's also challenging too, because you want to relate it to the parents. You don't want to worry them.
Right.
But a lot of times they're not seeing this, so they don't actually, they can't, it's a judgment call, and it's your judgment call most of the time. And parent to parent, sometimes they disagree. Like one didn't want her to continue ice skating mm-hmm. For another session of classes. And one was like, I think she needs to. And they asked me actually, and I was like, I think it's important to encourage her to keep trying, because she's afraid of it right now. And I wouldn't ever want someone to leave something on a fearful note.
Right.
I think the issue is probably the teacher of that. So if there's a way you can switch, that's what I would suggest. And they actually had already heard that from their daughter too. And they were like, okay, good to know. Like, and she switched and she loves it now. And it's
perfect.
Yeah. It is, but it's so, it's a hard line to walk as a nanny.
It is.
Because you're trying to relay the information, you're trying not to worry the parent, you're trying not to let the child know that it might be more of a, because that can sometimes amp up their anxiety.
Right.
And that's not at all what you want to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Because sometimes,
especially
because when parents are hearing it, the child is so sensitive.
Absolutely.
To everyone's emotions.
Yes.
And parents, when they're first processing it, can be more anxiety ridden.
Yeah, they call that
maybe is warranted.
Social referencing when a child. So children actually do it when they fall down as well.
Yes,
and so they'll like fall. I'm sure you've literally all seen it as nannies. They fall, and before they decide if they're going to cry or not, especially when they're really little, they look at you and they're like, "So am I upset about this?" And how you react tells them if they should be crying or not.
Yeah.
So sometimes they'll fall, and if you're like, "Oh wow, big fall, are you okay?" They're like, "I'm okay." And if they fall and you're like, "Oh my gosh, are you okay? Let me come here." Then they're like, "I should be upset." And they cry.
Right.
So, and I actually, I mean, I injured myself, walked through a room of adults. I think I've mentioned this on the podcast, bleeding from the face. Me, 12 or 10, trying not to cry, right? Like, I'm like, it's cool. I'm so chill.
Walk it off.
I'm just 10 years old. Everything's fine. I'm mostly embarrassed. And then I walk into the bathroom, walk through a room full of adults, walk into the bathroom. I'm bleeding from the head. And then I begin to wail.
Right.
And like, but it's like, then everybody panics. So if you can, prep the parents for their conversation, like maybe
when the child is not in the area,
but also really listen to the kids' feelings and reflect them back and don't try to fix it and don't try to tell them you're fine. You know, like, like growth mindset. Don't, all you have to do is listen.
Yep.
And be like, that really stinks. That's really, really hard. I'm so sorry that this is happening to you. And then you can also be like, but I know that you are so strong. And I trust that you'll be able to handle this. It, it doesn't feel good, though.
Right.
I'm so sorry. So it's really, it goes a long, long way in what you can endure.
And asking them, you know, how do you think? What would help you fix it?
Yeah.
And then as they come up, you know, with ideas.
Yeah.
Depending on what they are.
I told the little girl I nanny for when I was leaving her house today that I was coming here to record. And she was like, are you recording with Miss Martha? And I was like, I am. And I told her what we were recording, and she, I was like, do you have any advice? Like, what should I say about things that help kids? Because she, when I told her the subject, she looked at me with this huge smile because it's something that we've been talking about a lot. And I was like, I know, I thought you would like that. And I was like, do you have any advice you'd like me to mention to nannies? And she was like, I was like, when kids are nervous to try new things or trying to be brave. And she was like, give lots of hugs.
Aww.
So that's the advice from a seven-year-old is hugs help.
Hugs
and just
help.
Being like, I'm here with you.
If the kid wants
yeah.
to hug.
Yeah. Yeah. Ask first.
Because I'm also body going autonomy. Through a phase with one of my little ones. He does not
want. Not into it. Yeah.
Nope.
The and older one or fine. The little one?
Little one. Which is fine.
Yeah.
But... And then when he gets hurt, he does. So
yeah.
It's all
conditional.
It's very conditional.
Same with my boyfriend. Very conditional when he wants the affection.
It all depends.
He's so funny.
I did, as I was researching for this, I found an article on biglifejournal.com. And it's called 7 Ways to Encourage Your Child to Try New Things.
Yeah.
And so I thought we could go over.
Let's do.
These 7 ways, which the first one we've already talked about. Be supportive of effort and progress and process.
Yes.
So not being like, you need to graduate that class.
And yeah.
If you don't, you're a failure. Yeah. I mean, no one would ever.
Yeah, but they internalize that.
Right.
So like they worry about that.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
It's hard because it's like, you want them to know, like, guess what? How great that you'll have another week to practice if that's what you need. How amazing. Like, then you'll have it so well. That's awesome.
Right.
And how brave to go back to class every week and keep trying. You're really persistent.
Yes. Yes. And focusing on those on those things of...
The wins.
Yeah. The wins and the way that they are sticking with it.
Yes. Which I think is a win. Like,
yes,
the bravery, the courage it takes... The way you listen, the way you were a part of the group, how respectful you were to your teacher. Like, you really tried hard today.
Yes.
You're so athletic. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this one I really like. It's a make an I can.
Ooh.
And so you, and they have printable slips that have decorations on them. If you want to go to biglifejournal.com.
Shout out Big Life.
Yeah. I really like this website. I'm going to be visiting them more. But you can also just write, I can, and have the kid fill in the rest. But it's a, you put them in a can or a jar.
Yeah.
Although the can is a nice thing because it...
It's cute.
I can.
It's punny.
Yes. But, and they write down things that they can do.
Yeah.
And so then when they're not feeling very brave, they can go to that jar from a time when they were feeling more brave or when you've focused on ways that they've been brave.
Yeah.
And think about all the things that they can do.
Yes.
And they say in this article to, as you're writing down the things, ask them, like, could you always do that?
Yeah.
And encourage them.
They could not.
Right. To think about the times when those things were new.
And that's really important too for children, because it looks so much to them when they look at adults or older children, even mm-hmm. like, how come everyone else can do this? And to be honest, sometimes I feel that way as well about adulting. But it's really important to be like, guess what? Everything you did that you currently do, you had to learn to do. Mm-hmm. And children fear doing things wrong, right. which is so hard, because we naturally all, we want to do it right. That makes sense. But being, I find that you can comfort a lot of children to be like, guess what? Every person who is like the most successful person at what they do, when you think of them, they have failed millions of more times than you have ever failed at this. Mm-hmm. And children are often like, what? Really? You're like, yeah. And I love Billy Joel, and pretty much everyone knows it. But I'm like, Billy Joel has messed up playing the piano zillions of times.
Yeah.
And do you know what makes Billy Joel, Billy Joel, and so famous? And they're like, what? I'm like, he did not stop when he had these issues, or when he made a mistake, or when he felt frustrated. He kept on learning.
Right.
And that's amazing. And like Michael Phelps, the Winter Olympics really, really helped.
Yes.
With like children who were anxious in my life. Cause I was like, did you see that female snowboarder who fell on her first round and she got very few points? And guess what? She went on to medal. Like how amazing. She kept trying. She didn't say, I'm not going to do it because I didn't do it perfectly the first time. She said, guess what? That stinks. Yep. I wanted it to go differently, but I'm going to try again. Mm-hmm. And I know that I can.
Yes.
And like that kind of stuff is really encouraging. So the I can I do the can. I can. I can do the can.
Maybe put that in there.
But as they accomplish things, that might be a really fun emotional reward for them to be like, I can, and to write it out before and then to put it in the jar when you finish it, because it helps them visualize them doing it.
Yes.
That'd be, I think, a little extra topping on top. Yep. I started that sentence and I was like, I don't know where I'm going with this.
But you landed strong.
And it helps them visualize themselves doing it and being successful, and gives them courage.
And it also gives you a really safe space to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about it in this positive way.
Absolutely.
Of, I can do these things, and not like, what are you scared of?
Yes.
Which is also important, but you can get to it in a more positive, uplifting way. Because they probably will talk about the things that they're scared of as they're talking about the things that they do well.
Absolutely.
So,
and they also say too, like brain chemistry wise, I'm sure you know this, Martha. Well, I'm not sure, but I assume you know this. And maybe, maybe some of the listeners do, maybe you don't. Your brain, the pathways you use, become stronger and stronger. It's like a highway that you're traveling. Yeah. So if you continually have a thought, it's going to become a stronger pathway in your brain. Your brain's more likely to go to that thought. So that's like the power of positive thinking, right? If you think positively, your brain is more likely to send your messages down a positive path.
Yes.
But if you reinforce the negative thoughts by continuing to think them, your brain's like, oh, this is a pathway we use a lot. I'll send a lot of, you know, messages.
Thoughts,
yeah. So it's actually, I mean, it's just brain science. Mm-hmm. So the areas you don't really use get pruned in your brain. Then the cells and the pathways and the neurons that you're not using are actually being trimmed by your other brain cells to make way for things you are doing and learning and reinforcing. So if you can help to set up a positive outlook on life by talking about things like, what can you do? What do you want to do? It helps them to view things more positively, which really helps them with their whole life.
Right.
I know a lot of adults who are trying to undo negative thought patterns, and it's hard.
It's so hard.
So why not start now when they're really little?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another idea on here is keep an adventure diary.
Yeah.
So keep, like, write down times that they were brave. Or that they just went on an adventure. And I think, I don't know if it says this or not, I can't remember, but I had the idea that you can also make up stories about them.
Yeah.
So it can be like a true adventure diary, but then you can also have spinoff series that are like, I went to outer space and there was an alien, and then I was scared of the alien, but I talked to it and it didn't speak the same language, but I gave it a marshmallow and that's its new favorite
food.
Now
we're best friends. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and then I showed it how to roast marshmallows, so, and boy howdy, you know.
Would you do it as a, like a super version of them, like their alter ego, like Super Martha or Super Katie, and they like have adventures, and then it's like, what would, like, if you're going to wherever they don't want to go, soccer.
Right.
What would Super Martha do in this?
Yeah. I think
it's like part of them. Yeah.
Right. Right. Because Clark Kent is Superman.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that
calls on him in important moments.
Yes. Exactly.
On that side of himself. Ooh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal that from you and I'm going to apply it to my life with the child tomorrow.
Great. Do it.
Starting tomorrow.
But you can also just do things that you've actually done, which I think is what this article is suggesting.
Absolutely. But I like the idea of both. Because there's lots
of times of that they have been very brave.
Yeah.
And they might not have taken the time to realize it.
Or even like in moments where they didn't feel very brave, what could you have done?
Yes. Rewrite that history.
Yeah, like I learned that from you. It's mm-hmm. like, how can you rewrite the ending to this?
Yeah.
What could we do differently next time? Like we talked about it with dreams, mm-hmm. like change the ending.
Yes.
And that works too with anxiety feelings of like, okay, we fact check a lot.
Yes.
But like, like what would this ending of the story be that like, here's the ending you're afraid of, mm-hmm. and letting them explore that's important.
Yes.
But then being like, what would the perfect ending be? Or what would your, like, what's a okay ending in case that bad thing happens? What would you do instead? Mm-hmm. How would that be resolved?
What is your plan if there's a shark in the pool?
Yeah. Solid thinking.
It is.
Solid.
And just a shout out to Target because they often have, I think they're 10 packs. They might be 8 packs of blank books that are you can draw in. And I, when they have them, I buy a bunch.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're just white covers and sometimes they're different color covers. And I buy a bunch and stock up because I often have uses for them.
Yeah, of course. As a nanny. Yeah.
And so when that happens, you can buy a bunch of those and...
Thanks, Target.
Yeah, thanks,
please,
Target.
They please don't sponsor Chronicles of Narnia.
Please sponsor Chronicles of Narnia, but they don't have them right now. So,
oh no, thanks, Target.
I'll save you. I'll save you the trip. They are not in the dollar section right now.
No, but they do have them in the office. I buy the Moleskin journals. They sell them at like five at a time. I actually make Reckitt journals for children.
Yes,
as a gift, my own personal gift. but they sell them in the office supply section. That's it's just true. Not a dollar or $3 or $5.
Yeah. But you can get them all the time.
Yeah.
Awesome. So the next thing is ask the right questions, which I think we spent most of the first part of the podcast talking about, is asking, let's see what they say. Is there anything that used to be difficult or a little scary that's now much easier?
Yeah.
So reminding them about those things, which I think you will naturally do if Absolutely. You do the can-can.
Yeah.
And the dance. and the adventure diary.
Well, and breaking down to like what is actually frightening mm-hmm. to them. Like with the teacher and the ice skating lesson, it's like...
Right.
Even now there's some residual because she's trained her brain to be anxious about it.
Right.
So when we go to ice skating, she now has a teacher she really likes. Sometimes on the way to ice skating, she'll be like, Katie, I'm nervous. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, what do you think you're nervous about? And she was like, I'm nervous about ice skating. And I was like, what about it? And she'll go, I'm just nervous. I guess I'm nervous my teacher won't be there and I'll have a different teacher because she really likes her teacher now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, are you nervous you'll have a different teacher or are you nervous you'll have the teacher who you had a bad experience with?
Yeah.
And she'll sit for like a minute and she'll be like, I guess I'm really nervous about the teacher that I had the bad experience with. I'm like, I totally get that. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about why it's unlikely she'll have that teacher because that teacher teaches adults at that time.
Right.
Which is why we signed up for this time slot anyways.
Yeah. Good thinking.
But So it's like, you know, and we also talk about pressing snooze on that. Like, can you put snooze on that worry? Yeah. Like, it's okay to be afraid of it and be nervous about it for sure, because that's a scary thing. Can you hit snooze on that for a little bit? And let's see what happens when we get there. See if your teacher's there. And if not, we can start worrying about it again then.
Right.
And that's actually gone a long way for her to visualize the idea of a, like, I'm going to rest this for 10 minutes and then I'm going to come back to it. Which mindfulness really helps too, is like teaching children a lot of the things I've read about children and anxiety and adults as well, is focusing on your breathing and then coming back to you, because thoughts pop up. But the actual like genius part of mindfulness training is teaching your brain to focus on what you choose to focus on.
Yes.
So if it's your breath for 2 minutes, I'm going to think about how I'm breathing and coming back to it every time you're like, but what about the laundry? Or for a kid, what about ice skating or swim lessons or going to that play date I'm nervous about? If you can just 2 minutes a day, you actually are strengthening your brain's ability to focus on what you choose to focus on.
And talking about those invasive thoughts as saying it's okay to have them.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of kids want to do it right.
Yeah.
And so they're like, but then I can't have any thoughts about that are bad. And it's like, no, but let them pass you by.
Yeah.
Like they're on a street.
Don't judge them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let them come in and then wave goodbye to them as they pass on by.
So the book that you recommended to me, which is for adults and not for children.
Not for children.
They talk about that, about the people who experience the highest levels of anxiety affecting their life. Even people with the same levels of anxiety, the people who have report more unhappiness with how the anxiety affects their life are the people who are judging themselves for having the feeling.
Yeah.
So not passing judgment on the feelings is important, to tell the child that they're normal. It's okay. I feel this way too. Yes. Like, and then
reaching out with your own experience.
Absolutely. And children will be like, what? Tell me a time. Tell me 10 times. So like they'll ask you all day. I'm sure you know. But they are very curious because they don't know. They see you as like this superhuman, as their nanny or their parents, superhumans. They're amazing. And they don't get to see the internal process because we learned it from going through this as kids.
Right.
But we do it all in our head now instead of out loud to another person most of the time.
So. It's like math.
Yes.
You know,
Show your work.
Show your work to the kid.
I like that. Yeah.
Another thing that was also in the book that's for adults, but I've seen it in a book for children about anxiety.
Yeah.
Is thinking about your thoughts like a garden.
Ooh.
And so you want to give attention to the things that you want to grow in your garden.
Yeah.
And the fact that there are weeds in there is not a bad thing.
It's
not your fault. It doesn't mean your garden is a bad garden.
Yeah.
But you should tend to those things and get rid of the weeds.
Yeah.
Like pull them out. And put more time and effort into the things that you want to grow.
Absolutely.
Because if you put time and effort towards the weeds, then they're going to grow.
Absolutely. Which is sort of what we talked about with the brain pathways of your neural pathways. You're strengthening them.
And even if you know, in your garden, like some pea plants got planted and you don't like peas.
You were like, I hate these. Who put these here?
Who put these here? Yeah. But if you spend time watering and taking care of those, then those are the ones that are going to grow.
Absolutely.
And your tomato plants are just going to be left out.
And you want the tomatoes to grow.
And you want the tomatoes to grow. I mean, I feel the oppositely about those vegetables.
Okay,
but
good to know.
Or fruits.
Do not send in peas are starchy vegetables, tomatoes are fruits. And strawberries are pseudo fruits. Did you know that? They're not really fruits.
That sounds like a superhero.
A pseudo fruit is a fruit where the seeds are not on the inside. So it's like a fake fruit. What? I know. I'm full of stupid knowledge.
The more you know. I didn't think that was stupid at all. I thought it was great.
That's good to know. Good to know.
Next thing on this list of seven ways are incorporating brain breaks.
Yeah.
So, and you've talked about that before.
For myself.
For yourself. And this is more in the advice that they're giving here is more for like if you're working with a child on
Absolutely.
A skill. So if you're working on reading or writing or arithmetic or whatever, that like stop and play a quick game of rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
Or
which Martha just made the motions of. You didn't see it, but I want you to get the full scope of it.
I can't. It was pretty magical. Without,
she only did rock and paper though. She's not a scissors thrower, it appears. Or she's saving it.
Yeah, you don't know. Maybe I'm a tricksy minx.
We'll play later as an editor.
But yeah, taking little 30-second to 2-minute breaks from the task.
Yeah.
And letting the kid know that that's okay.
I think there's a study out there that says that your brain can only focus on something for, 23 to 30 minutes at a time, and then it needs a 30-second break. Mm. So if you can incorporate that in, I don't know, many of the kids that we work with as nannies won't have 30 minutes of homework. They might have 30 minutes of reading or piano practice or something else that's frustrating. Mm-hmm. So if you can give them a few seconds to sort of return to homeostasis, to an even-keeled place and their baseline, that's awesome. What a gift.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that that's super important for those activities where you are not involved, where you're supposed to be out of the room. You cannot do that. But, but you can give them time afterwards.
And before. Yes.
To set them up for success.
Absolutely.
And that even like coming home from school, a lot of times I don't push them to do anything that they don't want to do right after school.
Yeah. They need time to decompress. Exactly. As do we.
As do we.
Yeah.
Another idea in this I love is conduct dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
So like you can pretend to be the teacher, or if they're like nervous about going, you could even potentially go to the place.
Yeah. Practice.
Practice.
That way it's not new.
Yeah. On a day that they don't have to do the class.
Yeah.
So you can like take them there, show them around.
They actually suggested that with marathon training. Mm-hmm. Did I ever tell you that? Mm-mm. They were like, you should run parts of the race. If it's a local race, you should run parts of the course during your training, because with familiarity brings comfort.
Yes.
And so when you're doing something that's scary to you, like running 26.2 miles, having something that feels familiar feels good.
Yes.
Because you're not wondering where you are. You know how this is about to go. You're familiar with the space. And that helps for ballet lessons. That helps for if the child's going to have a recital somewhere, piano, whatever it is. If they're going to have a sports game, to be like, let's go look at the field so we know where to go. And let's, you know, if they're potty training, be like, let's go look and see where the bathrooms are so you know and I know, which is just good planning.
That is very good planning.
Just always know where the bathrooms are.
I mean, I always do.
Yeah, but like that, it helps. I mean, even driving, knowing the route makes me feel so much more comfortable.
Me too.
And these children have less skills than us. They have less tools in their toolbox because they're learning them.
Yeah.
And so if you can teach them to do these things, you should totally do that if time allows, if you have the ability.
Yeah.
How great to be able to change someone's day and mood like that.
Mm-hmm. And it's not killing time, but using your time with the kid to do something that's helpful.
Yes.
Which is wonderful. And I think if you're doing more like play acting at home,
absolutely,
letting the kid play act worst case scenario and kind of making it silly. So like, I'm worried that my teacher is going to yell at me.
Yeah.
Or offering that they could be the teacher and you're them. And so that they can act out what they think is going to happen.
And it helps them feel powerful to be in a, we had a, to be in a position of power was the end of that sentence.
Yes.
but we had a fake doctor's office. We did our five senses in my preschool classroom, and we'd done like x-ray techs, and we talked about like how your ear works, how your eye works, like your nose, your taste buds. And the kids were loving it. So we had a doctor's office. But oftentimes we had like four doctors and no patients.
Right.
So I was the patient a lot because the children all wanted to be in the position of power over somebody else.
Right.
And so giving them the chance to be the teacher helps them. Playing school with your nanny kids will help them calm a lot of their fears. And you'll actually get to see things that they're worried about that you didn't know they were worried about, because they'll bring it up. And it actually is a wonderful tool to be like, hey, I noticed that your teacher said a lot of things about the class being too loud and kind of yelled. Does that ever happen at school? And sometimes they'll be like, no. And sometimes they'll be like, yeah, my teacher does that a lot. Like, wow, that must be kind of like uncomfortable to be in that. I don't like when people yell at me. Is it okay at school? And it opens the doorway for the child to share with you about their experience.
Yes.
They, in the, also in the book that Martha is for adults shared with me, that's for adults.
If you want to know what it is, email in. It's a great book.
It's awesome.
But we just don't want to talk about it
because it's not appropriate. But they talk about, they did a study where they put like sensors on people's skins to measure stress responses. Mm-hmm. And they said that people said that saying a fact about the situation made them feel less stress. Yeah. But actually their stress levels reduced in their body on their skin when they said how they felt about a situation.
Yeah.
So that is actually a really powerful tool at your disposal to talk to the child about how they're feeling about something, mm-hmm. and to reflect back their feelings and to not try to fix it. Just be like, wow, that's hard.
I hear that you're feeling really anxious.
You can take down their stress response physiologically. It's amazing.
It is.
It's amazing.
If this is sparking things in your brain and you're like, but I want to know more about that, listen to The Power of Play episode with Danny Joe. And that's, he talks a lot about
He's
that.
He's pretty awesome.
He's amazing. Also watch his show because it's really good. Danny Joe's Treehouse is his show. You can find it on YouTube and Facebook.
He's a delightful man.
He's a delightful man.
I also recommend the Pascal episode on growth mindset because that has a lot to do with what to encourage these precious children.
Yeah.
Like what is important for you to focus on and for them to focus on.
Yes.
And how can you help them focus on those things?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So those are two good reference episodes. And the dealing with anxiety episode is also a good one with Kate. So those are three good episodes to check out if you are also struggling with
or need more resources.
Or need more resources. And then the last one that they suggest here is make a bravery ladder, which I love because it's helping the kid break down into smaller steps of what – and this is more for I want to be able to read. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
We all do. That's great.
Yeah.
How do we get there?
Yeah.
And so helping them break that down into
like attainable steps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then checking in with those steps of like, where are you on the ladder now? And when you move to the next rung, talking about that of like, wow, you can read a whole sentence now.
Did you notice that?
Yeah. Did you notice? You moved up to the next rung.
Yeah.
And so, and you can physically create one on the wall if it's something that is a really big presence in your life.
Yeah. It'd be cool to have a chalkboard wall or space for this, even if it's like an old mirror that you paint, like those hanging mirrors that you paint with chalkboard paint.
Yeah.
That'd be cool because you can draw the chalkboard on or the ladder on and write individual rungs.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I, something about my Montessori education from my childhood is that it really helped me do this in all areas of my life. And it's something that I see a lot of adults around me struggling with, of they want to be able to do this thing and they have no idea
how to get there.
Yeah.
Like moving towards your goal.
Yeah. The small steps that you would need to be able to get there.
Yeah. It's a skill that you have to learn.
It is. And giving that gift to a child, boy, howdy.
Yes.
Is one of the most important things we can do.
Because then they don't have to learn it when their pathways are not closed, but we have less plasticity. It's called plasticity. Yeah. Like the way that your brain's able to form new connections, you have a lot of plasticity when you're younger. And it's basically like flexibility in your brain. Like you have so many neural pathways and that's why your brain has to prune them.
Right.
And so there are windows, developmental windows where you can learn a bunch of languages or you might acquire the skill of reading. And if you miss them, it's not impossible, but it's really hard.
Yeah.
And habit forming is so important, positive habit forming. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy. It takes resilience. It takes courage. And like, if you can train them to do that when they're little, when they have smaller obstacles to leap over, how amazing for their adult life.
Yeah. And I think back to what we were talking about before of letting kids know that people who are considered the best in their field failed a lot.
Oh, yeah.
They made a ton of mistakes.
And are making mistakes. Yeah. Because that's how you try new things.
Mm-hmm. That's how you break new ground.
Yes.
And get new places. And,
yes.
Yeah. And learn.
Absolutely. And just telling them too, like, that's hard. That's like, commiserating is like the main theme of this.
Yeah.
The little girl I nanny for and I, we talk a lot about like, it's okay to be afraid, because she's like, I'm afraid. And I was like, that's totally fine to be afraid. I feel afraid at times too. And I was like, but you cannot let your fear be the boss of you.
Right.
Because then you'll never do anything.
Yeah.
And that's really sad. That's a sad way to live. Mm-hmm. So it's okay to be afraid, and fear's there to help you, but sometimes your fear lies to you.
Yeah.
So we really have to work on when your fear's telling you something correct and when your fear's lying to you.
Yeah.
Because your fear's meant to save you from like lions and things that like
tigers and bears.
And like explaining, actually I've had a lot of success explaining the fight or flight response and fight, flight or freeze.
Right.
Why those are in us and why it's important to you. And it's actually been really successful. Like those feelings in your stomach are your body getting you ready to do what you need to do.
Right.
Whether that's pass your swimming test or run away from somebody who's scaring you. Like those are, your body is on your side. And this response is your body trying to help you.
Yeah. I also will frequently tell kids that are feeling fear that often I know that I care about something.
Yes.
When I feel that way.
Yes.
Is that that's how I know that I care, that I'm invested.
Yeah.
Because I'm an actress, or was, I'm not sure. It's in
flux little bit
right
of both.
Now.
A little bit of both.
Little calm A, little calm B. But but anyway, kids often will ask me, you know, about like, do you ever get scared on stage? And I tell them that I don't always, but I love the plays that I do get scared.
Because it matters.
Because that means that it matters.
Yeah.
And that it's new and it's different for me.
Yeah.
And that when I stop feeling afraid is when I actually get worried.
Yeah.
Is because if I'm not a little afraid to be on stage, then
it doesn't matter.
I don't know why I'm there.
The little one today with the swim, because she's almost graduated from her swim class, and she's like really wanting to be graduated, and she was nervous she wouldn't graduate today. And I told her, I was like, you know, that, kind of along those lines, I was like, that's actually, I'm glad you feel a little bit nervous, because that to me says that you're ready.
Yeah.
Like you can do everything. You might need a little more practice on one or two things, but you know you're ready. Because if you didn't think you were ready, if your body didn't think you were ready, you wouldn't care.
Right.
Because you'd be like, I'm not ready yet. And that's great. Both of those are great. But, and they talk about like, because I felt a lot of anxiety with my marathon training.
Mm-hmm.
And they say like professional athletes also feel fear
before,
and they make millions of dollars. They know they're really good. They're the best in the field.
Right.
And they're like, that's actually your body telling you it's excited.
Yeah.
And so like reframing that as like anxious or fearful, it's like your body saying it's ready. Like it's ready to do its part. And that's your body giving you all the juice it needs to go for it. Because you can't achieve these great athletic or physical or acting or whatever experiences without some of your fight or flight response.
Right.
Because it needs that adrenaline to get you going.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really powerful to think about, like, this is just your body being on your team.
Yeah.
And so if you can phrase it that way for a child and that resonates with them, that would be great.
And like talking about almost like the Hulk.
Yeah.
Of like your body is like hulking out.
Yeah.
Like
it's part of you. It's part of you. It's meant to help you.
Yeah.
And it's not to be afraid of. It's not to be ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
Crying too. I love this fact. Stress hormones come out in your tears, friends.
Yeah.
So encouraging your children, if they're stressed and crying, be like, guess what? You're doing the right thing right now for yourself, because inside those tears are things called stress hormones, and they're your bad feelings. They're literally coming out of you right now.
I'm wiping them away.
Your body's trying to protect yourself. Your body's on your team.
Yeah. I think that is very, very
because a lot of times it's a body trust issue too. They don't trust that their body's going to play soccer or say the right line on stage, or they don't trust their body knows how to ride a bike or do their swim test or whatever it is they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And or learn to read. They don't trust their body. But if you can be like, your body wants you to do what you want to do, and it's trying to help you.
Yeah.
So just like be there for your friend, and also encouraging, I think, positive self-talk.
Yes.
So sometimes children that I have been with, both in my church life or my personal life or my work life, they'll be like, oh, I'm terrible at that. And I'm like, first of all, no one talks about my friend child's name like that. Not even my friend child's name. Mm-hmm. So like if Martha were saying it, I'd be like, no one talks about Martha that way. Not even Martha.
She has actually said that to me before.
Yeah. And it's true. You don't. Yeah. You don't get to. And because A, you're my friend, and I won't let you talk about my friend that way. Mm-hmm. And secondly, you above all deserve your own love and kindness. And so to encourage children to do that and to say, like, would you ever say that to me? Like, that, would you ever look at my picture and be like, wow, you're terrible at art? Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, I would never say that to my friend or to you. I'm like, why would you say that to you then? Because you are also your friend.
Yeah.
And you should be kind to yourself just like you would be to one of your friends. And helping them to think of themselves as their own friend is really encouraging, because we live in a society which tries to squish us.
Yes.
Almost at all times.
Yes. Yes. So that we will buy more things.
Yes.
Thinking about it that way.
Absolutely. But
it's important.
Yeah.
And it's important to help kids learn that.
And protect themselves against it.
Yes. Question. Always question.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Is there anything else that you can think of?
I do not think so. I think we've talked a lot about this.
I think we have too.
I'm not sure what our time's like, but I'm like, have we been talking for 95 minutes?
No,
like,
just an hour.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
We had a lot to say.
We're scared that we talked too long, but I think it's perfect.
I'm going to be nice and say, I really enjoyed. I'm going to treat you like I would treat my friend.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed everything you and I had to say. I thought it was really interesting.
Me too.
Yeah.
I hope you
thought it was interesting too, friends.
I feel inspired.
Me too.
And I want to try something new.
How uplifting we are.
I'm going to look for something to try.
It's going to be awesome.
It is. Wonderful. Well, if you are sitting there thinking, but wait, they didn't talk about this, and they're saying that they did such a good job, and we did, but
we know you agree.
We know you agree. But if there is an area that you feel like we didn't fully cover, and you have questions about, please write in to chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Or if you want to know the name of the book, we keep referencing it because it's brilliant and everyone should read it.
Also write in. We'll change your life.
Yes, it will. And then, is there anything else?
Can I say one more thing just thought of?
Yes, always.
I think it's really important as an adult and as a person who cares for children to do the things that you encourage the children to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I've talked a lot about like ice skating.
Yeah.
With the little girl in 94. I actually took an ice skating class for adults before she took ice skating.
Wow.
But it actually was so helpful to draw on that. Uh-huh. To be like, I also was nervous. And she was like, grown-ups don't fall down. I was like, we fell down literally every class period.
All the time.
Every day.
Yeah.
And so, and I was like, I know the nervous feeling you're talking about because I was afraid of falling. And she's not. But like, she's afraid of doing a bad job, air quotes. But like to be able to draw on that to like her mom can't swim and yet she's in swim lessons. So like her, one of her mom's, like mentors was like, maybe you should take her to a swim lesson where you learn to swim.
Yeah.
And she was like, what? Why would I do that? Like that's scary. I have to learn to swim, but it's good to help you imagine what the child is experiencing.
Yes.
Because we're so far removed from that period of our life. Oftentimes it's hard to recall, but it helps you have new compassion yes. on the children and what they're asked to go through, even trying new foods. Mm-hmm. I really encourage anything you ask a child to do, you should also consider or be willing to do. Or if you're unwilling to do it, think about that. And then think about how you're speaking to the child about something they may have to do.
Yes.
And the fear or the unwillingness or the resistance you fear or you feel, excuse me, and why you need to, how you can approach the child. And that will help, I think, almost all relationships where something's happening that someone's not sure about.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such good advice.
It just popped into my head. You actually reminded me of it somehow when you were talking about that.
Oh, because I said I was going to go try something.
Yeah. That's it. She's also a psychic. Not really, but also kind of.
But no, I think that's wonderful advice. Although I will say, if you do not have the financial means.
Sure.
That's understandable.
Although there are free classes.
There are.
I mean, like free groups in the, like I was resistant to kickball.
Yeah.
And it was not expensive. And no. It was not, you know, like there are free leagues in places.
Yes, there are. So explore all your options.
Yes.
But I just wanted to throw that out there because sometimes they're in like five different activities and you can't do them all.
No financial shame. Yeah.
But
maybe try one to remember what it's like to try a new thing
that
you think you might be bad at.
Yes. Yes.
That's
Pick
hard.
The one that scares you the most and then do that. Because that is why I took improv.
Yeah. And look at you now, you star.
I signed up for it because I was like, this terrifies me.
Yeah.
So that means I should do it.
Yeah. Solid
and
choice.
It was great.
It's changed the course of your life a little bit.
It has, for sure. I definitely have friends that I would never have met had I not done that.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Visit us on Facebook.
Do it right now unless
rate,
you're driving.
Review, subscribe, all that good stuff. And then we end each episode. With a funny story or quote from a kid. And I actually have one because it happened recently and it was awesome.
And I haven't heard it yet.
And Katie has not heard it.
She asked if I wanted to know first. And I was like, no, save it.
This is fresh for her too. So I was eating lunch with my littlest one the other day. And he goes, Marfa, what do you do with your arms when you're not using them? I don't know what to do with mine.
So, and you're like, neither do I.
I was like, that is a really good question.
What do you do with
And your- one that I actually think about a lot.
That's
and ponder and don't know what to do.
Do you really think about it?
I
a
do.
Lot? Oh my god.
Especially on stage. I
oh,
am
yeah.
like, what are these things attached to my body?
That's part of why I quit acting, actually.
Yeah. And so I told him that sometimes that's when I so don't funny. Know what to do with them, I make them like T-Rex arms.
Yes, always the answer.
That's the best way.
That is the best way.
And then I just grab in the
yes.
air.
Yes.
Because T-Rex can't
That's so
reach
funny.
Anything. But it was so funny. I cackled for a long time.
What a brilliant question.
I know.
Like he's really thinking about the hard-hitting questions of life.
And he was using his arms right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he was just thinking about a time
lunch.
He did not.
Yeah. It's like,
wow.
I know.
So also write in and tell us what to do with our arms when we're not using them. Because
oh
now I'm
gosh.
Wondering.
Yes, please.
My arms feel really weird and heavy right now all right. of a sudden. I'm thinking about them.
Yeah, once you start thinking about it, you
I don't
can't.
Like it. Yeah.
I know. Like, I don't
stop.
Know. Katie's like dancing around on the couch very uncomfortably.
Yeah. Ooh. So,
but yeah, that was just the highlight of my
That
week.
Is so funny.
Yep. What do you do with your arms?
What do you do with your arms?
I don't
arms
know what to do with mine.
When you're not using them. I feel great. As nannies, we're often using them.
I know.
So perhaps we feel exempt from that question.
Maybe.
But I'm so curious now.
Yeah.
Please write in and tell us.
Please.
Please
do.
Post on this what you do with your arms when you're not using them.
Yes. Because
I would like to read the comments too publicly.
Me too. Oh, great. All right. Well, thank you so much, Katie.
Thank you.
This was wonderful.
And thanks for everyone who's going to write in about what they do with their arms.
I can't wait. I can't wait to read those. I'll read them on air if you write them in.
You better. And also, please seriously post them on Facebook so I can read them.
Or Instagram.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Chronicles of Nania is produced and hosted by Martha Reddick. Artwork by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.